is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Oh, that was fantastic. I was hoping we wouldn't have to do that over again today. So this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. But I got to be honest, I'm struggling with a little depression this morning. I entered an indoor very mini triathlon yesterday. OU Health Sciences. Eric, you may be familiar with the triathlon they're doing. I did it last year. And I was satisfied that I didn't finish last place in any of those categories last year. Not the same this year, folks. 62 participants. There were swimming, biking, and running. I placed last in swimming, or floating, as I called it. My family can attest I was floating an awful lot and then struggling. The running, I placed last. The biking, however, I placed 38th. That's almost in the middle of the pack. Okay, so, yeah, thank you. So, 62 participants. Overall, I did place 61st. So, I was thankful to not be last there. Looking at my notes, I was able to beat a woman that was over 70 years old. I don't lie about this stuff, guys. I don't lie about it. It's the truth. So immediately I got the results and I thought, oh Lord. Okay, I started processing what happened. I went through the five stages of grieving immediately. I went through denial. These results are unacceptable. They can't be correct. Someone's made an error. Not in my favor. Anger. Then I was just mad at myself for my poor performance. Bargaining. I'm not even going to get into what I did there. Depression. I'm going to use this phrase, and I apologize. And I apologize to those viewing us on Facebook. But, well, depression was, I suck. And acceptance was the same thing. I suck. Okay, so I went through those five stages. And again, I apologize. I don't want to offend anyone with that. But that's just the way I look at it. I was no good in those areas. And so I thought, man, come on. So as I'm going through these things, I thought, well, really, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I thought. And we can't expect maximum reward for minimum effort. Let me tell you, my effort in preparing for this was minimum, if not non-existent. And I thought, why in the world would I expect to do better than I did? I hadn't practiced. I hadn't done anything. I had a great victory that I did sign up. And going back to a couple years ago, as we did some message series talking about you got to enter the race at least. So I did that and I was proud of that. But I did say you also have to run and you have to finish and hopefully finish strong. Well, I didn't finish too strong at anything. And we'll get to that in just a minute. So I started justifying that I was better than those that didn't even show up. Look around at the empty seats and you may be sitting there thinking, hey, I'm better than them. They didn't even show up today. I thought, oh, got to be careful, Adam. I rested on last year's results. Maybe we thought, well, I have my good stuff that's going to carry me. Last year, I did much better. In my age group, I placed second last year. Only because there were two entrants. This year, in my age group, at least I placed third. There were three entrants in my age group. I'm holding on to that biking thing, though, okay? And I thought, well, I just hung on to those results thinking I'm better than them. I'm better. The only reason, again, that I didn't place last this year, remember, I beat out a woman that was over 70 years old. And that's what I said. I'm taking that and I'm hanging on to that. And I thought, okay, well, I did that. So I thought, as I'm going through these various steps, you know, I'm a minute and a half into running thinking, I got to do this for another 20 minutes or 18 minutes. But I thought, I started thinking of the scripture. And I know I don't see Megan here, but I see Megan's mom. And one of her favorite scriptures is out of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what I thought as I was doing this. And then I thought, if I want to. But if I want, if I don't want to, I can't do anything, even though Christ strengthens me to do it. If I don't want to do it, and believe me, I didn't want to do this. I thought, I remembered to last year and thought, why? Why do my kids enter these races and do these things? The insanity gene must come from Cindy. It's got to. But I thought, I can't. I just can't get this. Because it was not fun. And I thought, literally, as I was doing this last event, I thought, I don't want to do this. I just want to forget this. I want to eat whatever I want to eat. Taste good as much as I want to eat. Because this is work. This is a whole lot of work to do that. And I thought, is that really not our daily struggle as Christians? We know that the Bible says we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me if we want to. And it's that want to that we get hung up on. Because I really didn't want to. And boy, then I had these great battles thinking, well, if I stop running and just walk, which I did a few times, but if I just stop that, am I a quitter? Or does that mean I'm not a good Christian? Is there some correlation, God, that my leg hurts and so I want to stop? And he kind of answered back, yeah, there's a correlation here. Because when you get into those times of trouble and trials and anger and all the things and sickness and illness and financial trouble and relationship troubles, when all those things come about, he says, I get that you're tired. I get that you're tired of the battle, but you have to keep going. And remember, some time ago, I said, two steps forward and one step back is still progress. But we still have to keep taking that other step, even when we get knocked back. And as Christians, we will get knocked back a time or two. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Because there's no promise that just because you come to church, just because you sign up for the athletic club, you will be healthy. The Bible doesn't say that. And really, the physics of our body and all that stuff, it doesn't work out the same way. Just because you join doesn't mean that you'll be this picture of health. Just because you come into the church and you may even serve a lot does not mean you will be without trouble and difficulties. I want the reward and benefit and the inheritance of being a Christian, but I don't like doing what I have to do to get it, to keep it, to live it, to be an example for others. Paul has been through a lot in Philippians and through the other Gospels and Scriptures. But in Philippians, he's been through, endured a lot of suffering for Christ's sake. And I'm telling you, I did not go through and endure a whole lot of suffering to get in that thing yesterday. Now, I suffered yesterday in it, but I didn't go through things to prepare for that. Shame on me. But Paul had a vision from God. And he left where he was, went through another, from one town to another, and he headed over to the town of Philippi to establish the first European church there. And so he's writing the letter to the Philippians, and he's talking about what he's gone through. And in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." Today's message is pressing on. He says, "I haven't got it. I'm not there. I keep pressing on. You guys may look to me," and I'm talking about him, not me by any means, but when he's talking to them, he says, "You may look to me, but I as the example, or that I've reached or achieved this certain place." But he says, no. Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." Why? "That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus, for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." Listen carefully. This is very important in our Christian journey. "Forgetting those things which are behind," is important for us, "and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." He says, I press on towards a goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I know I have a lot behind me. If you're in our Wednesday night Bible study, we're experiencing that right now. We're going through that. He has a lot behind him. But he says, I'm going to put that behind me because I don't want to focus on this. I don't want to get caught up in this. But what I am going to do is reach forward. Keep pressing forward. Keep pressing on. Keep looking this way. Two steps forward. I got pushed back. That's going back behind me. But I can't look back there. I'm going to stumble and I'm going to fall. I have to keep pressing forward. And I have to keep looking for those things which are ahead of me. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And we have to really change our mind. When we become Christians, it's definitely a heart change. But I don't think this happens if this doesn't happen. I think they connect and go together because our mindset has to be different when we find Christ. Because our mindset is what tells us how we deal with situations when we're confronted with different situations. It's not enough to say, I have love here, if it hasn't changed here. The renewing of our mind daily. The renewing of your mind daily. Searching out wisdom and knowledge. Let us have this mind, he says. And if anything, if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Jesus Christ was our great example of how we should live, obviously. But it was in the mind and in the heart and in the soul of him that he gave us his example. In the example of his mindset, it's how we deal with these people. Think about every time he came in front of those doggone Pharisees. In one of our other Bible studies, it said they went in front of the Pharisees. Then they went and grabbed the Sadducees. Then they grabbed some of the Sanhedrin. And they grabbed these different groups. Well, it's bad enough when you have one group looking at you, harassing you, without them calling in the others. I know when, back when I was in high school, many years ago, it was in Albuquerque, and there were, as most schools probably, different groups of people. Back then we had the freaks or hippies, I guess is what they were called there, and I learned real quick what group was what. The stomps, those were the cowboys. When I came here, I found out a stomp was different, but a stomp there is a cowboy. With their cowboy boots and hats. Then we had the brainiacs, and then we had the jocks, and then we had these different groups. It's bad enough having one of those groups gang up on you in high school. But when you get them saying, hey, stomps, freaks, come on, everyone join us. Let's go pick on this person. Jesus Christ did the same thing, but his mindset worked in combination with his heart. And it said, this is how I will deal with these people. And rarely did you see him get upset. Now, when he went in the temple, that was a righteous anger, and he's flipping over tables. He says, you will not do this in my Father's house. But when he's dealing with them, they say that you say you are the Messiah. It is as you say. And I can just picture this quiet guy. They're looking for a fight, and he wasn't giving it to them. I want you to think about that. How many times has someone said something to you looking for a fight, but you would not acknowledge that? You would not give them that power over you. Oh, you want to. You may even be right to. But that's the mindset, that renewing of the mind daily. And when that mindset changes, then all of a sudden, you start understanding the love of Christ in you. You're saying, man, I know I'm right, but does it make sense to prove it here, or in this way, or the way they want me to? Paul reminds him, I haven't got there. I'm forgetting what's behind me. I'm pressing forward. I'm pressing through it. I'm pressing on to it. And when we do that as Christians, you know there is pain that comes with that. When you try and press through and press on. Loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of finances, loss of health, temporarily or permanently for any of those situations. Loss of a relationship, loss of a home, a vehicle, whatever. Loss of a child, a parent. When we press through that, there's pain in that. You know, when we were running yesterday, riding the bike, one guy said, I think I'm going to throw up. It wasn't me. I'm just clarifying. But the guy said, I think I'm going to throw up. They said, well, aim that way. Afterwards, when it was all said and done, they said, the trash cans are over there if you need to throw up also. There's pain in that stuff. But the more you work out and prepare and train for those things, the better you are and your body is to handle those things. But understanding, listen carefully, understanding that pain, where it comes from, what causes it, how to deal with it, and then if possible, how to eliminate or at least reduce that pain. For a Christian, that is of the utmost importance for us to understand what's causing this pain for me. Now, God, how do I deal with it? How do I recover from it? Many of you have had different surgeries. Feet, legs, ankles, different things, hips, arms, shoulders, those things. You listen very carefully usually to how your doctor tells you to work through that. And sometimes working through it is working through excruciating pain to make sure it's better. And to make sure it doesn't get stuck in one spot or stuck in a way that doesn't perform properly. There's pain in healing sometimes. That's the wisdom and knowledge that the Bible talks about for us to understand. How do we come through this? When we stay in a bad place, we can't help others heal. We certainly aren't helping ourselves heal. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Now we've got to remember, church, sometimes our pain is self-inflicted. Is that right? Self-inflicted a lot of times. We cause our own pain. We don't want to let things go. We find a reason to take offense to it when really we don't need to. We just need to overlook it. It's not a big deal. Someone didn't mean it this way, but we want it to mean that. And we cause our own pain. I'm hurt by this. Well, there's no need to be. I didn't mean for it to be hurtful, so why did you take it that way? Then oftentimes we want to gather other people around to make sure they understand our hurt and our pain. They said this to me. That doesn't sound too bad. Well, I think they meant this. We can twist things to cause our own pain. But let me tell you, the one thing we can't do is sit around thinking we're better than others. And it's easy to look at the empty chairs and say, I'm better than them. They didn't show up. And that's what I thought last year when I placed higher than I was. Really, I placed higher because 5 or 6 people didn't show up. Well, wouldn't you know, this year everybody showed up, of course. Thank goodness for the lady over 70. Had she not showed up, I may have been beat by a no-show. I don't know. But we can't sit around thinking we're better than others. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, listen carefully as it says this. We're going to read 1 through 10. And it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. It's reminding us we are the same as the people next to us. We're really the same as those that aren't here because that's where we were at one point. We were the empty chair. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even He loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are all His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have no business in boasting in ourselves when we succeed or accomplish something. We can certainly take pride in those accomplishments, in those achievements, and I think we should, while acknowledging that all that happened because of God. What does the Bible say? All good gifts come from where? From heaven. Don't say from mom and dad. All good gifts come from heaven. So we boast in God that we were able to achieve certain things and become certain things. There's a lot of spiritual fitness that needs to take place in the body of Christ. Not necessarily at prayer of faith, but in the body of Christ as a whole. Because a lot of times we do that, we show up for our triathlon with no experience, with no workout, with no practice, with no preparation, and we want these great results to not finish last. God says, man, sometimes it just has to be. Now in the big picture, I'm not really depressed. I was disappointed in my own self, but I'm not depressed. And I realize that none of us as children of God suck, and so I want to acknowledge that. I just was disappointed in my results. But I understand that we're all created in His image for His workmanship. Being people that need that spiritual fitness. Improving and being an example to others. We do that how? Through our word. Through our conversation. Through our love, the love of God. Through our conduct or our behavior. And think about it. The Bible talks about that a lot. They go hand in hand a lot of times. We have our conduct or our words a lot of times don't line up with who we say we are. I'm a child of God. And then we're off with our conduct doing this or our conversation doing that. And our love missing for the love of God. Our spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit within us. I'm telling you, when we do praise and worship in here and we pray each Sunday morning for the Holy Spirit to be alive and well in this place. We welcome the Holy Spirit into this place when we practice and before we play for you guys. That the Holy Spirit would move through us and in us. And I feel His presence in a powerful way. Our faith, our spiritual faith, our trust in God sometimes needs help. And then our purity, our sexual matters or our sexual thoughts. And we have to be sure we grab hold of all those things in all those areas of our spiritual journey. And then we do this by giving attention to reading the Bible, exhortation, encouragement to obey the Scriptures, and then the doctrine, the formal teaching and instruction in the Word of God. I'm telling you, when we started Sunday school back up, that was a powerful, powerful move for this church body. If you're not attending, I encourage you to attend. It starts at 9:30 every Sunday morning. But that goes back into this, to the formal teaching and instruction in the Word of God. Not just you at home cracking open the Bible and reading and saying, I read it. But instruction and understanding and conversation back and forth. Maybe even correction from your own interpretation. That, by the way, is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 through 16, gives us those instructions. And I think it helps our spiritual well-being when we do those. we're going to pray in just a minute here, and then we're going to have a baby dedication today. We're very excited about today. But I want us to think about our spiritual maturity as we prepare for the baby dedication. If you would, bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us and what you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, would you just help open our understanding of the Holy Spirit and our comprehension that the Holy Spirit is there, is our helper that you've promised. Lord, help us press on. When we get pushed back, if we happen to look back, Lord, that you would help turn us and point us forward. And pressing on, as your word says. Pressing on towards a goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, your word says. Lord, give us boldness in taking these steps. Lord, help show us forgiveness, both to ourselves from you, and then our forgiveness of others. Lord, as we talked about today and each Sunday as we leave this place, would you help guide our actions and our words to those we know and don't know? Help guide our tongue, Lord, that when we speak, when we act, that our character and our words glorify you and give example of you in our life. As your word also says, so that it may be evident to those that try and bring charges otherwise against us. And Lord, finally today, just help us understand that we have no reason to expect a maximum reward when we give minimum effort. We do know that you can do all things that you want to do. We know that we can do all things through Christ Jesus. But help us to understand we have no reason to expect a great reward for our minimum effort when it is minimum. Help grow our effort and our obedience towards you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.